Thank you, Reed. We do these tests over a large geography in Texas. You start thinking about the distance from Corpus Christi to the High Plains, and that's quite a bit of geography. So I do appreciate all the folks that participate in this test. So we're looking at Blaine Reed up in Plainview. That's a good 700-800 miles from Corpus Christi. So there's a very wide range of geographies. We looked at this particular test, and we do appreciate all the folks that participated. So the cotton fleahopper itself is an early season pest of cotton in central and south Texas mainly, but also in other regions of the cotton belt. Now initially, early in the season, it'll develop on weedy hosts. And as those weedy hosts nest, or in the absence of a weedy host, they'll move to cotton. So the insect itself has a piercing, sucking mouth part, and it causes damage to cotton by feeding on those young developing squares. Now initially that damage may go unnoticed, but as that plant develops, that square that's been fed on will usually wilt, die, and abort. Now all life stages of the cotton fleahopper will damage cotton. And the importance here is that if you go into from central to south Texas, every acre is sprayed, just about every acre is sprayed at least once per year for this insect, and sometimes up to three times per season. So this is something that definitely, if we can find better ways to manage this pest, either through variety selection or insecticides, that would be awesome for our producers. So the objectives of this particular test were to determine the effect of insecticide application on cotton fleahopper populations, boll retention, and yield. The second objective was to determine the effect of leaf texture, either pilose or glabrous cotton, on the same parameters. So for the research, we looked at eight cotton varieties. And these varieties, it just happens that four of those varieties, and actually we selected them this way, four varieties were designated as pilose and four varieties as glabrous. Now the cotton fleahopper counts were made weekly, beginning, and the test that I'm going to report was actually beginning at five leaf stage. So we were just ahead of pinhead square when we started this process, and we're using the beet bucket technique to count fleahoppers. The design was a factorial design with four replications. The variety, or each variety, was planted in eight consecutive rows per plot. They were subdivided into four rows as subplots. Four rows were treated weekly with Centric at a rate equivalent to 2 ounces per acre, and four rows were not sprayed with the insecticide. Now the sampling took place in the middle two rows of each subplot. And when we counted the fleahoppers, we separated adults from nymphs so we can acquire not only the total number of fleahoppers, but also the stage that was actually captured at that sampling point. Now, once we finished, 2 weeks after we finished sampling, so we sampled up to third true leaf. We were our third week of bloom. We were actually sampled a little bit longer than what we would consider a period where the fleahopper is damaging to cotton, but we went ahead and continued those counts up to the third week of bloom. 2 weeks following that, we went in and we P-mapped six random plants per subplot. And then at harvest, we harvested the center two rows of each subplot. Now, the cotton fleahopper populations, boll retention, and yield were analyzed with PROC mixed to test for main effects and interactions. And this table just simply shows the varieties that we used for the test this past year. And the four varieties that were pilose are represented in that light colored cells right here. And then these are the glabrous varieties. Now those trichome counts are expressed in square centimeters, and that information is actually coming from Dr. Galen Morgan's lab from there in College Station. So we're pretty confident that the varieties that we used in saying that these are Pelosi varieties are actually Pelosi varieties, and those that were glabrous are actually glabrous. Sometimes when you look at the websites, you'll notice a company designating a product as glabrous when actually they're Pelosi, and we actually had that this past year in one of these varieties that we looked at. So let's talk a little bit about the results. And we're going to start with that figure on the upper left-hand side of this slide. And that's representing the total number of cotton flea hoppers per 25 plants on the y-axis. On the x-axis is the growth stage. Again, we start at 5 true leaf at Corpus Christi and continue that through the third week of bloom, acknowledging that our period of susceptibility is right in here. The blue line represents the Pelosi cotton not treated with insecticide. The green line is the glabrous cotton not treated with insecticide. The red line is the Pelosi cotton treated weekly with insecticide. And this purple line down here is the glabrous cotton treated weekly with the insecticide. And I included this brown bar, we included this brown bar to represent the economic threshold that we typically use, which is about 15 flea hoppers per 100 plants. And our spray treatments achieved the desired effect. We wanted to keep those things pretty well free of flea hoppers, and we kept those flea hopper populations well below an economic threshold at this site. When we look at the untreated cotton, the Pelosi cotton typically had a higher population of cotton flea hoppers compared with the glabrous cotton. And this was not unexpected. There's been previous research that's shown that this is typical, that the glabrous or the Pelosi cottons typically support a higher population of flea hoppers than the smooth leaf cottons. Moving on to that histogram figure on the right side of the slide, what we're looking at here is first position bow retention expressed as a percentage on the y-axis. On the x-axis, we've got two groupings of bars. This grouping of bars right here represents cotton that was either sprayed with insecticide or not sprayed with insecticide. On the right side of the figure is cotton that has been designated as Pelosi. This is an average of the four varieties that we looked at. The bar to the right of that, the red bar, represents the four varieties, an average of the four varieties that were considered glabrous. And our results showed that when the cotton was sprayed weekly to control flea hoppers, we saw a higher first position bow retention compared to cotton that was not sprayed with insecticide. Likewise, cotton that was considered Pelosi had higher first position bow retention compared with the glabrous cotton. So there is some differences in sensitivity among the cotton types. So if you've got a Pelosi cotton, then more than likely, on average, it's going to have a higher first position bow retention than the glabrous cotton. And again, this is nothing that's earth-shattering. A lot of this work's been done before, and it pretty well follows the trend that's been reported in the literature in the past. Now, the thing that's interesting is when we move down to that lower left-hand slide, we're looking at yield. And yield expressed as pounds of lint per acre, and the same treatment combination or comparisons along the x-axis. And we did not see a yield response, even though we did see a response in first position bow retention. We did not see a corresponding yield response. Numerically, yes. Statistically, no. So one of the things that we were interested in was what's the sensitivity of these varieties within a classification? So we analyzed each variety on its own, either sprayed or not sprayed, to see if there's differences in sensitivity within a classification. So in this figure, we're looking at first position bow retention again as a percentage. Along the x-axis are the Pelosi varieties, and then over on the right side are the glabrous varieties. And these are either sprayed or not sprayed, and that's where we're making the comparisons. And it's very interesting that we did see some differences in sensitivity even within the classifications. For the Pelosi varieties, the phytogen 333 and the Delta Pine 1522, show no difference in boll retention whether the cotton was sprayed weekly or not sprayed. However, the 1518, Delta Pine 1518, and the Stoneville 4946 had higher boll retention, first position boll retention when sprayed weekly compared when it was not sprayed. And very similar results from the glabrous cotton. So the varieties Delta Pine 1725 and Phytogen 444, statistically there was no difference in first position boll retention whether the cotton was sprayed or not sprayed. But when we looked at Delta Pine 1219 and Delta Pine 1646, we did see higher first position boll retention when it's sprayed weekly with insecticide versus not being sprayed. So there is some sensitivity even within these classifications, which I think is important to understand when we start moving forward and thinking about can we actually manipulate thresholds based on leaf hairiness. Now, the big thing here is that when we move down to that bottom figure and look at yield, even though we saw differences in sensitivity among some of these varieties that were sprayed, not sprayed, it did not translate into a yield response. So the yields were very similar. And I would say that in Corpus Christi, Texas, at this site, that our yield potential was pretty much on a very average for the area anyways, running about 1,200 pounds per acre. So summarizing, I think we did a good job picking out the varieties. We did see differences in leaf pubescence among the different varieties that we, not hybrids, varieties that we picked. We did have economic populations of cotton flea hoppers starting about match head square, and they continued through the first week of bloom. Now, the cotton flea hopper didn't really show a distinct preference for pilose or glabrous cotton in many cases, but we did note that generally there were more cotton flea hopper on the pilose cotton compared with the glabrous cotton. And as we expected, the cotton that's treated weekly had a higher first position boll retention compared to cotton that was not sprayed at all. And the pubescence, when we looked at the pubescence, find those four varieties that were classified as pilose and those that were classified as glabrous, we did see a difference. So there was a difference in sensitivity among the glabrous and the pilose cottons in this trial. I think what was very interesting is when we broke those down and we started looking at sensitivity within a classification, we also saw some differences in sensitivity within the pilose and within the glabrous cottons. And I say that has some implications on developing cotton flea hopper thresholds, mainly because if we just run out there and pick out a pilose cotton and we develop a threshold for pilose cotton based on that one variety, we may be overestimating that threshold or underestimating that threshold. And so possibly, you know, what I see is my thoughts is that we need to look at a number of different pilose varieties, a number of different glabrous varieties, pick those that are the most sensitive to cotton flea hopper and use those to develop thresholds. And as far as yield, one thing I can say about these modern day cottons is they do a very good job of compensating for early season damage. We did not see a difference in a yield response in any of the evaluations that we made. So again, I think that's a testament to these new cottons and their ability to compensate for these early season damage. And with that, I'm probably out of time anyway, so. One question. Yes, sir. It was dry land. I'm sorry, I should have said that. This was a dry land site. Yes. One of the things that happens is when we get into June, it turns dry, and we got very hot and very dry through June and July. So I think that we had more precisions during that period, and so that was the compensation, was that there's probably a lot of that precision that already occurred with DP 1518 with the flea hoppers. So yeah. Yeah, and honestly, I think that we've got to get better at doing yield estimates. And these small plots, when we look at yield and start comparing yield on small plots, I really, you know, it's hard to really feel extremely confident.